Good evening and welcome to Rowan University Radio, WGLS. I'm your host, Douglas Mapp, and we're here for another 2 hours of the growth and development of jazz. This evening, we'll be starting our discussion of the hard bop era. This era is still alive today. Many of the original practitioners are still alive. You can still hear many of them performing in Philadelphia all around the place. Many of the younger players that are very popular today will credit musicians from this era as having been major influences. A quick sampling of some of the major musicians that came from this era would have to include Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Art Blakey, Horace Silver, Cannonball Adderley, Sonny Stitt, Sonny Rollins, James Moody, Lee Morgan, Clifford Brown, Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, Donald Byrd, Freddie Hubbard. The list could go into the hundreds or maybe even thousands if we start to include some of the sidemen who were influential in making these main soloists sound the way they did. What is hard bop and how do we tell a difference between it and, say, cool jazz or bebop? Well, if we allow for some personal judgments, we can, in general, say that the rhythmic accompaniments to hard bop are going to be a little bit more aggressive than cool jazz or bebop. These accompaniments are also going to feature some more varied rhythms that get used, gospel rhythms, ostinato-type bass figures. There will be long periods where there'll be very little harmonic change. The melodies that these compositions draw from, these musicians played bebop tunes. They played standards, but also they created a new collection of tunes that became kind of the standard repertoire for performing. The chord changes for these tunes were very often much simpler than the bebop tunes that they came right after, but we also will find out, especially in the case of someone like John Coltrane, sometimes the harmonic progressions got much more complex, so we can't make too many generalizations about that. Hard bop had some nicknames. It was also called soul jazz and funky jazz. One of the things that gets really important in hard bop is that the individual soloist now gets much more freedom to express himself. The types of languages that we hear when the soloists are playing, the melodies that they play, start becoming more varied. In the bebop era, we saw that there was kind of a language that many of the solos were drawing from. Well, when we listen to hard bop, we're going to find out that now each individual soloist on one level is starting to create their own solo vocabulary. And there are Joe Henderson licks, there are Miles Davis licks, there are John Coltrane licks that people play. When you play a certain collection of notes, people say, oh, he's quoting John Coltrane. We also start to see the composition start to take on much more length. You know, many soloists will solo for 3, 5, even 10 minutes. You know, in the case of John Coltrane, there are recordings where he took solos that were 20 minutes long. As I stated in my opening remarks, there's just too much music to cover in 1 week, so I have chosen to focus on the music of John Coltrane and Miles Davis next week. Even spending an hour playing the music of these two giants will only allow me to scratch the surface on some of their musical contributions to this art form. This week, I would like to start our recorded examples with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. For over 40 years, this band was a finishing school for some of the most influential jazz musicians from the past couple of generations. Art Blakey spent his early part of his career playing in big bands with the likes of Fletcher Henderson and Mary Lou Williams, and he played in a lot of smaller groups. He formed the Jazz Messengers in 1955 and led the group until his death in 1991. I will give you a partial listing of some of the musicians who passed through this jazz finishing school. On trumpet, we had Donald Byrd, Kenny Dorham, Bill Hardman, Lee Morgan, Clifford Brown, Chuck Mangione, and Wynton Marsalis. On sax, Hank Mobley, Jackie McLean, Johnny Griffin, Benny Golson, Wayne Shorter, Branford Marsalis. On the piano, there was Sam Dougherty, Bobby Timmons, Horace Silver, and James Williams. On the bass, Doug Watkins, Curly Russell, and Reggie Workman. I've chosen two recordings to finish out this first segment. I had to look for two recordings that would be short enough to fit on this first segment. The first two tunes come from a live recording from 1954. The album titled A Night at Birdland sort of captures an evening of the band playing. Actually, is a two-album set that features two sets that the band played. In the band at the time was Clifford Brown on trumpet, Lou Donaldson on sax, Horace Silver on the piano, Curly Russell on bass, and of course Art Blakey on the drums. We're going to first hear a Horace Silver composition, Quicksilver, and then a Bud Green and Michael Edwards standard, Once in a While. This second tune is a ballad that features the up-and-coming star Clifford Brown. Although he died tragically in 1956, his recordings from 1952 to 56 are some of the most studied for their solo vocabulary. Also noteworthy from this incarnation of the band are contributions of Horace Silver. So here we start off with Quicksilver, and then Once in a While. Then we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Art Blakey.
Clifford. Clifford Brown.
At this time, we'd like to play a number that's composed and written by our pianist, Horace Silver. We named it Quicksilver.